Stacy Baker, Auckland, New Zealand. Not very long ago, my self-description would go like this. 30-year-old high school dropout, single mother, welfare recipient. Stuck in the bad habit of what I called poor think. I feared change because I didn't know any better. Struggling to get out of an emotional and financial maze, I lived a demoralizing life. But I was lucky because I discovered Rich Dad knowledge about what was possible financially, even in my dire straits. Paying attention changed my situation. My confidence grew so that I could consider and act on new and exciting options. Today, I own a thriving medical practice and two rental properties. I choose not to work. Instead, I prefer to construct a financially secure life for my son and myself while we enjoy ourselves along the way. Although Mongerry, where I was born in 1966, was synonymous with gardens, in reality the area was just like any other suburb of Auckland. Middle-class citizens who worked full-time jobs lived there. Everyone owned a house on a quarter acre of land and minded their own business. Our house was surrounded by farmlands, which over the years were swallowed up by the urban sprawl of an ever-increasing population. My father ran a small business. He created a greenhouse company that built large greenhouses up and down the length of New Zealand's North Island. As children, we were not expected to deal with money. The only times I had any occurred when the market prices for the tomatoes that we grew on our property were low. Then Dad would set up a roadside stall beside our front gate. Either one of my six siblings or I worked there. Occasionally, my father would be a little lax about emptying the money box, and we'd be able to collect enough spare change to buy a bottle of Coke or some sweets. Then, when I was seven, my parents separated. All the children moved out of the house with our mother. Although my mother took the odd part-time job after the separation, she still had young children to raise and qualified for welfare. My recollections of those times are of poverty and being cold. I can still see myself as a child trying to warm my hands under the hot water tap one winter. The house we lived in was in a dreadful state. I remember waking up in the morning, in the bedroom that I shared with my mother, a brother, and younger sister, and putting my feet down on a freezing, wet floor. The frayed carpet was soaked from a very bad leak in the plumbing system. Money problems also plagued my father, and I watched as he made one uneducated business mistake after another. He believed that hard work was its own reward, and he was fanatical about teaching that to his children. He never bothered to look at his bookkeeping and was forever doing things for others for free. One of my most painful memories concerns him. It's hard being a kid and watching your father actually cry over money. But that happened twice, when he edged perilously close to bankruptcy. My siblings and I struggled along, completely naive about money. All we knew about money was that we saw very little of it. Things were tough for me at school, too. Because of where I lived, I really thought that I would never amount to anything. From the day I began primary school, I could not keep up, and I knew that I was not going to be a successful student, the kind who studies and hands in homework when it was due. Playing held a lot more interest for me. That and lunch. By the time I was in high school, I was assigned to the dumb class. However, I did find one subject I liked and did well in. Physical education was fun. But I also enjoyed hiding under a tree to smoke cigarettes. Not being present became the norm. When I noticed that my name was missing from the roll in geography, my last class of the day when I was 15 years old, I just went home early. Ironically, when I took my end-of-the-year exams, I received my highest mark in the subject. Of course, I still failed in all my classes. I couldn't stand school. To me, it was irrelevant, a joke. My ambitions were as narrow as the lines on a highway. When a teacher asked me what I wanted to do after I left school, I told her I wanted to be a truck driver. But I did have a fallback position. If my first choice didn't work out, then I could always get a job in a factory. I didn't even make it that far. At 16, I dropped out of school and became a mail sorter for New Zealand Post. I figured that was as good as it was going to get. The world was closed to me. By the time I was 23, I was carrying credit card and loan debt of around $30,000 due to my complete ignorance about money. I was earning all of $250 a week doing some completely unmemorable job. There was quite a string of jobs like that. By the age of 30, I was a single mother on welfare, living in a rented space with a friend. I spent my time trying to get more money out of the government instead of trying to create my own income. It was a very scary time. The lack of money was terrifying. With no prospects and a little person to support, I felt overwhelmed. I remember worrying about paying my boy Weston's kindergarten fees, which were around $10 a week. That's how bad things were.